Councillors, it's gone 5:30, so I'll declare the meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly those in the public gallery. Good to see people taking an interest.
When will you get one?
And I'd like to commence our meeting by acknowledging the Goombangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present tonight. Thank you. Could I also remind everyone that under Council's Model Code of Meeting Practice, this meeting is being audio recorded. You should refrain from making any defamatory or inappropriate statements, and recordings will be posted on Council's website once the minutes are released. And could I also ask that if you have a mobile phone with you, that you switch it to silent. Thank you. And I'll now call for apologies.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. We have Bede Spanagle, the General Manager, who has an apology, and we have Councillor Troy Vance, who has also an apology.
Thank you, Mr. Sykes. I'd now like to invite Minister Peter Allen from the Nambucca Baptist Church to come forward and lead Council in prayer on behalf of the Nambucca Ministers Association.
Madam Mayor, councillors, senior staff and those in the public gallery. My name is Peter Allen. I'm the pastor at the Nambucca Baptist Church representing the Ministers Association. I have the privilege of praying for this meeting tonight. Those of you who wish, you may choose to bow your heads while I pray. Wise and loving Father, first let me say thank you. Thank you on behalf of all who are gathered here today. We live in a beautiful and precious part of the world. You have placed us here in this place today to make decisions and administer the responsibilities that we each have been given according to our position in council and the community. In the scriptures, you've said that citizens ought to obey the governing authorities, since you have established those very authorities to promote peace and order and justice. Therefore, I pray for our mayor, the various levels of council officials, and in particular for this assembled council. But I'm asking that you would graciously grant them wisdom to govern, sense of the welfare and true needs of all our people, keen thirst for justice and rightness, confidence in what is good and fitting, and the ability to work in harmony even when there is honest disagreement. Lord, above all, I wish them personal peace in their lives and joy in their tasks. Bless our agenda set before them today. Please give an assurance of what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around our beautiful Nambucca Valley. In your most blessed name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Minister. Disclosures of interest.
Yes, Madam Mayor, we have two. The first one is for item 9.2, Zombie Development Consent Inquiry, from the Manager of Development and Environment, Daniel Walsh. It's a pecuniary interest for the reason that Daniel owns a lot at Nambucca Heads, which has a development consent that is older than 5 years and has been physically commenced. The next disclosure of interest is for item 12.1, which is the Bowraville Sporting Hub, and that disclosure is from Councillor James Angel, and that is a non-pecuniary, less significant conflict of interest, for the reason that Councillor Angel is providing voluntary catering at Bowraville Sports Hub on Saturday the 1st of June for celebrations.
Thank you. So, councillors, confirmation of the minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 16th of May. Moved, Councillor Buchanan. Yep. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. No notices of motion, so we'll go straight to our public forum, and I'd like to invite Mr. William Heapy to come forward and address council. Mr. Heapy is speaking in relation to Red Ash Road subdivision.
That's great. Madam Mayor and councillors, I'd just like to speak to you about what's going on out there in our Red Ash Road in relationship to this new development of yours. It's gone from a 6-lot subdivision, 16-lot subdivision, for some reason, in no time at all. Now, we've got the plans sent to us and what have you that doesn't show us whether or not we're having any land, how the landscape is and what noise abatement there is for us and what have you and what have you, right? Problem we've got, like, we bought that land out there on our business on, and because we got fined down on the highway for having our equipment, $8,000 to the council, they said to us, you need a block of land where you can't be seen, industrial, and, you know, so you can have your gear there. So we've done that. Put a plan in and for our shed, and he says, no, we won't let you build a shed to put your machinery in. The reason being that we don't really want to look at sheds going up the road, Boggy Creek Road, with our development. But there was only 6 sheds in his development then, and now there's 16 on half the block. It's going to be a lot more than 16 sheds. So we've got really, we're going to see a lot of sheds going up, and I can't see why he wouldn't let us build a shed to put our machinery in. But that's what's happened. Now, when you put your DA in for your works out there, you said to us that on the DA, first thing to be a sign put up. On that sign, large sign, it will show a plan of what's going on there. This is 5 years ago. Showing who to ring if we find things, what to do, you know, all this stuff. Never went up. Now I said to young Daniel, I said, your sign's not up. Send him an email. And there's still no sign. Now, we're there with the demolition guys doing the demolition of the house that's on your farm. I find in the shed with the guys some Aboriginal artefacts, 2 tins of them, because the guys that have been farming them and what have you had dug all these artefacts up. Now, I said, what do we do with these? He said, in the truck with the rest of it. That's what he said, Wayne Lowe. Right? There was no need. You know, I couldn't prove that that's what they were and whatever. So I've kept a few of them so I can show people what they were, you know, and whatever. But what I'm trying to get through to you is, if this subdivision and whatever yours, we're supposed to have the sign, we're supposed to have the fence up to keep the people out and whatever. Like, you've done the power trench. We've got kids playing in a metre deep trench across the road from our house. You know, there's none of this, what you say you're going to do in the DA, being done in relationship to what was put in the paperwork, you know what I mean? And I realise that with that COVID and all that, and Wayne Lowe said, look, it's going to start next year and whatever, when he makes them come and whatever, and we've given them the money for this to put the infrastructure in and all this type of thing. It's gone on and on and on. Now we get a letter, you've changed the game, and like I said, we've got 16 blocks. Now what worries us is, if you look at when you drive through Nambucca, it's the same sort of thing. You put all new industrial blocks there, nothing on them, right? And they said when we looked at buying them, you had to build within 24 months. That was part of the deal. We want to see action on the land, right? None of it's happened. There it is, 4 or 5 years, and that land is still vacant now, you know. And again, it doesn't look good when you drive through town. It's a mess. There's no stormwater down the back of it for the stormwater for the sheds and things. It was never filled so you could have sewer gravity feed down the blocks. They're pump out tanks now, got to be put in.
So, Mr. Heapy, just for clarification, you're referring to the land on the roundabout at Centenary Parade?
I am, yep. The vacant, the council did try and have a bit of a
fill. Just for councillors, because that whole area was originally a council subdivision.
Yeah, until this was done out here, it was a bit of a fill-in, mm-hmm. you know, which is fair enough, vacant land. But again, like, nothing's been done. It's like near, out near our places. It's been going and going and going and going. Now here we go again, and it's all changed again. So now we've got, like I said, more blocks of land. But with our land, we can't do anything. Like I've said, we want to enlarge our house, add to it. He says, no, it's industrial, you can't do that, right? We want to put a green flat on for our young child that was sick. No, that's industrial land. I'm saying really for that, your house will be knocked down, you know what I mean, in the future. You know, it might be. But our life's on hold, you're doing your bit. Now the trouble we've got is you're the landowner, you're the developer, your Wainlow sells the blocks, all in-house. So it's hard for anyone outside to come to you and say, listen, we're not happy with that, because it's different to a private person doing a subdivision where I can go and say, look, council, I'm not happy with this, what this chap's doing. How do I know that what you say internally, right, when I say something's wrong, will be taken into consideration? You know what I mean? Because there's no interest outside the council. You used to do everything, you know, you're planning roads, this, that, the whole lot, even sales. Like Wainlow took the sales of those blocks up there in Embarker out of the real estate hands, sold them. What? Now Dave over there, he was going to buy a block off them and whatever, and Wainlow said, unless you can build on it, within 24 months, not feasible. And he said, well, I can't pay for the block and build a shed, I haven't got the money, right? People just haven't got that type of money. Now, he said no. So now we've got all that land sitting there with no businesses on it. It's not helping the town any. You put our money, the ratepayers' money into it, right? Which, you know, development's good. But again, it's the same old story. There's nothing's finished. You know, it's just a hole in the ground, you know, which, you know, we're having trouble dealing with. So I just wanted to put our point of view forward in relationship that we don't seem to be able to have any say in what happens on our own property because of what's happening on your property, right?
Yeah.
And that holds us back, which is, you know, hard. So that's about all I've got to say to you.
Thank you, Mr. Heapy. Well, the first comment that I will make is that council is governed by the legislation and the regulations as a property developer, the same as anyone else. So I would recommend that if you have concerns that there are development consent conditions that you believe are not being adhered to, can I ask that you put that in writing to the General Manager of Council, and I'd appreciate it if you CC'd me as well.
I made you an email, said you didn't have your... Like, we have people driving up the road saying to us, where's the council subdivision?
Yeah.
Even the councillors, some of the councillors didn't know where your subdivision was. But in your DA, you got written there, we're going to put this big sign up, Dave, so everyone knows there's a plan of it, what's going on, we're helping the town, blah, blah, blah. You can see where we're coming from.
But I think it's important that you clearly list any issues where you believe that there's non-compliance with the consent.
I don't think I should have to, because you're the council, right? You make the rules, you put in your DA, I will put this up, blah, 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 blah. Like, when he came to look at my shed, right, for the plan, the first thing the guy coming to check my shed was, where's the sign for your shed with the DA number and everything on it? And I turned around and I said, mate, where's yours? He just looked at me. He didn't know anything about it across the road, sort of thing, you know, the building inspector. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, there's my sign. I said, but you haven't got a sign. He said, I'll tell him when I go back. That's the trouble we're having. Like, the normal people out here in the street, we don't seem to be able to have any say in what happens. You know, like, it seems to be one set of rules for you and another set for us. I'm sorry, but that's how it looks to us.
Which is why I'd like to see in writing any evidence.
Go out there and show me a sign.
Well, I'd also... Through the General Manager, are you happy for Mr. Walsh to respond?
Madam Mayor. Yep, Madam Mayor, I'm happy for the Manager of Development and Environment to respond to that.
To clarify Mr. Heapy's point, the sign he's referring to, that the certifier was referring to, is a condition of consent It's a mandatory requirement in the regulations to have a sign identifying who the principal certifying authority is and who the contractor is doing the work. That's required prior to the commencement of works. Council's subdivision across the road's got development consent but has not got a subdivision work certificate. So under the regulations, there's no requirement for a sign.
But it said on the sign that if I found Aboriginal architects and whatever, you have a look on your paperwork, there's about four other things there it says. And what do I do with them? Like, I'm up there working on your land.
Well, again, Mr. Heapy, we'd need to verify, has anybody certified that they were actually Indigenous artefacts?
I've got some for you, so we will have, because, and like I talked to the Aboriginal chap over here, and he said to me, he said, Dave, I walked the area, and he said, the poor chap's passed away now, but it wasn't ploughed up. Like, these things have been, when you grow peas and you plough things up and whatever, you come across things that you won't, that's not laying on the ground because it's been worked over and what have you. Now,
But again, I think you'll find that the condition of consent refers to during works.
You've done the power, you've moved the power, you've moved the telephone lines.
I thought you just indicated that they were in a shed and that a previous farmer may have put them in a bucket.
Your block, the shed and the house we done a demolition job on, right? Moved it all to the dump. That was yours. It's all removed, it's gone. The only thing left there now is the water tank because I wiped the trees out.
I'm familiar with that, but you indicated that they'd been dug up when someone was growing peas. Well, council hasn't been growing peas there.
But they were in the shed in the drums and I pointed it out. But I mean, there was no number that there's no number that I could ring and say, well, look, what if I do with these? I'm just saying. The way I looked at it is the sign should have been up because.
Mr. Walsh has just explained that until we get a construction certificate? Subdivision work certificate, that's when you put the sign up. We haven't even got the work certificate yet.
What's the work you're doing? What do you call that? Moving all the cables, moving the house, isn't that part of the job? I'm just trying to get it.
I've just been reminded of the code of meeting practice, Mr. Heapy, and...
Well, I'm not being nasty on Ben yet. I mean, like...
No, we haven't got to the code of conduct yet. That's coming. That's coming if you're not careful. Under the code of meeting practice, because you're addressing council in a public forum, and I think you would have been given the notes on it, it's not acceptable to ask questions of the staff, directly ask questions of the staff. So again, any concerns that you have, you've indicated that you're perfectly capable of sending an email in. Send that email in, address it to the general manager, and if it helps, CC it to me as well, and I will keep an eye on it, and I'll make sure that each of your questions are responded to in writing.
Okay.
And that way you've got it there in black and white.
Yeah, but you can see where we're coming from. You're making disruption in our life and our property for your benefit. I mean, the chap said the other day, he was up there looking, he said, thinking of buying a block for a school up there. He said, we don't want to look down here and see this. I said,
I hate to remind you, but it's actually the ratepayers who own that block of land, not myself or any of the staff. So when you say for your benefit, it's actually for the benefit of the broader community and the ratepayers. But that's probably a technical point. But thank you, Mr. Heapy. And before you resume your seat, I need to check whether any councillors have any questions or require any clarification. None? Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, councillors, we'll go straight to item 9.1 on page 18 because there are no questions with notice or for closed.
Moved
Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Angel. Any discussion? I think I had a couple here. no one else has any questions, if I, through the General Manager. Sorry, the Acting General Manager. The first item, the asbestos, I think it was. Hang on, I'll put my glasses on. It's almost 2 years, and it was always the intent to engage consultants. Is there any reason why in 2 years we haven't been able to put together a scope of works or a consultancy package?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, for your question. I'll refer that through to the Director of Engineering Services.
Through the General Manager. So what we've done is we actually have done a review of our building asbestos audits, and they seem to be in good order. What we're chasing down now is our sewer and water, even though it's outside of the scope of the resolution. So we're hoping in the next month to maybe try and finalise this one without engaging a consultant.
Oh, so this previous entry, a brief to a suitable consultant has been commenced but not completed. Yes. We're now not going to do that. We're going to do it internally.
Through the General Manager. So we've managed to source the data for all our buildings, and they seem to be in good order, that engaging a consultant now wouldn't be good use of council funds.
Okay, thank you. I think that was the only one that everything else was... I noticed the waste one doesn't seem to be going anywhere too fast. Just remind everybody that April 2027 is going to come very soon. And then we've got to find a home for our yellow and green bins, and preferably also for our red bin. Anyway, no other questions or discussion? All right, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. What do we get next? Page 28, item 9.2.
I'll move the recommendation.
Moved Councillor Jenby. Seconded Councillor Jones. Any discussion? Do you want...
I'll just say very briefly, if you wouldn't mind, Madam Mayor, that there is a question of equity, and it's good to treat all commencements the same, like on a nice level playing field. That makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I know less about the zombie developments here than at Southwest Rocks or somewhere like that, but done really what was considered okay a long time ago environmentally is very damaging in today's world. So I commend the recommendation.
Yes, I've always had issues with what actually constitutes substantial commencement. There have been a few things in the past, not so much in our community, but in other local government areas, where putting in some star pickets and digging a few holes is considered substantial commencement. So there doesn't seem to have been uniform interpretation across the state as to what actually constitutes substantial. Like, to me, substantial commencement would be sort of having the slab down and, you know, something that you can actually see.
Yep.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Councillor Jones.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I commend the motion as well, the recommendation. I think the community awareness of this is very, very high, and the community are actually also very informed that these are historical issues that we really can't do anything about. And as Councillor Jenby pointed out, I think the most worrying aspect for me is that the rules and regulations are often ones that were when they did the application. So in a way, it's an unfair playing field, because people who are doing a subdivision or a development now have to come under the current. And I think the community are really concerned by that, because they see that as an attack on what has been progress in environmental issues or planning issues or road issues. So, yeah, I commend the motion.
If there's no other discussion, those in fact... is this a...
planning?
No, it's only a submission, so it's not a planning matter. It's not a planning decision. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Can we have Mr. Walsh back to the chamber, please? Councillors, we'll go to page 31, item 10.1.
This, Madam Mayor?
I had my hand.
Moved, Councillor Angel.
I didn't see the hand up.
Okay. I just had my hand up.
Sorry.
A long time to move it.
Oh, apologies. Well,
next time I'll just murmur and say I'll move.
Are you happy to second? Sorry, I was still finding the item and I sort of looked up just as Councillor Angel spoke. You happy to second it?
Yes, okay.
Thank you. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
I know we're just noting this and there's going to be a further report, but there were a few findings and recommendations within the report. So on each topic, there's some interesting points. I don't know whether this is the right time to speak to it or when the report comes back to council. So,
well, I would suggest that given that the motion that's on the floor is that the management are going to respond to each of the recommendations, that it's probably wise to wait to see what the staff response is to the issues raised in those, in the consultants' reports. And then, because we will have that a week prior to the council meeting, so that way you're only left to deal with or ask questions about the things that perhaps haven't been covered or you're not,
yep,
that's not happy with the way they've been responded to.
Might just make one sort of general comment, because some of these are out because on the survey they were rated as being important but quite low satisfaction or having a gap between them. And like, just for instance, on the public toilet one, like, I've had people come up to me and go, oh my goodness, $500,000 for a toilet in Maxville? You know, what are you thinking? When that is, for us, we know that's pretty well what the cost is, but for them it seems outrageous. And I wonder whether they're saying that, you know, toilets are important, but they're shocked or something. Like, I just sometimes wish the questions were a little bit more pointed as to, in the server, as to what has their gall. Anyway.
Okay, thank you. If there's no other discussion, those in favour, against, it's carried. Page 38, item 10.2.
Moved,
Councillor Wilson. And no one wants to put their hand up. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 44, item 10.3. Moved, Councillor Angel. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Well,
Here to talk about.
I have a question about water and sewer. A lot of additional costs relating to costings being inaccurate. And the only, most of the favourable is because the work hasn't been done this year. So can I assume that it's not really favourable, it's just the money's still in the budget because we haven't started the job and we'll be next year's budget. I'm just concerned about nearly all of the unfavourable results have been both in water and sewer, as a result of under-costing and unplanned maintenance works where we've had aches or leaks or whatever. And I just wondered whether that was any cause for concern, or is there a reason why We've had issues with the costings. Is it something unique to water and sewer that, you know, sometimes materials for particular types of work skyrocket? Is there a pattern to any of this?
Thank you for your question, Madam Mayor. I'll refer that through to the Director of Engineering Services.
Thank you, and through the General Manager. So, as with any asset, sometimes you have less work to do and sometimes you have more. This year we've had a lot of leaks and breaks that have been reported that we've had to go and fix, and obviously our usual budget hasn't been enough this year to cover it. In other years it could have been less. So we need to make sure that that money's transferred from the fund, because these are the things we've got to fix so that we keep the water and the sewer going. But we're looking at it in our asset management plans about how we can get more proactive in trying to prevent the leaks and the breaks happening, and that'll come in the future with the new council when we bring our new asset management plan.
And the costings?
Through the General Manager. So what we tend to do with the maintenance costs, if you see a lot of these are maintenance costs, is they're reactive. So we put a budget in place that we think's going to be enough, and as I said, every year sometimes it's enough, other times it's not enough, and we just needed the extra money to make sure that...
So it's more about budget allocation. It's not about costing particular jobs.
That's exactly right.
Thank you. That's where I've been confused. I sort of thought if we're under-costing particular projects, maybe we need to add some contingency. But what you're essentially saying is the overall maintenance budget that was allocated was insufficient to deal with the number of maintenance.
That is correct.
Thank you. Did anybody else have any queries on the budget review?
Not, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Angel.
Through the General Manager, probably to Mr Maloney, the Director of Engineering. It's probably more for me. I think we've dealt with the financial side of how things have slid favourably, but probably the number of projects, the unfavourable side. We're almost 2-1 from a project management point of view as far as the amount of projects that are going on. Looking at this, we're up, I think, 28 and 18 of them physically are unfavourable, and, you know, 10 of them are favourable. Obviously, the financial sides, again, I think we've talked about this before, but I think exactly right. You know, the reactive side, the finances take care of that, but it's more the physical side of why is this happening, and hopefully with a full crew and yourself at the helm, that the project management side takes care of the unfavourable financial side.
Thank you. Councillor Angel, sorry, was that a question or a statement?
Well, sort of more a comment about it. You know, I know there's Madam Mayor took care of the financial side and why things are blowing out, and I sort of thought I'd attack the project management side a bit and say, well, let's keep the armoury up.
Mr Maloney might like to comment.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll refer that through to the Director of Engineering Services.
So, through the General Manager. So what we've been developing over the last 10 weeks is a new project management framework that's to deal with scope and budget. So to try and do a lot of more work up front so that we tie the scope down so that we can price it a lot better. So hopefully in the future we'll start to see a bit more rigour in our pre-planning, which will help us during our delivery process to have tighter budgets, tighter timeframes and tighter scopes.
I've got a question, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Jones.
The works out on the various roads, Wilson's Road, Lower Buckram, Dindini, I saw some work out, I think, on the Missabody Road where the council, it was out Valla, on Valla Road, where the council's been removing that vegetation build-up on the side of the road. People I've talked to are really happy about that and can see just the logic to it. Was that part of a budget, or has that been more of a reactive thing that was really needed to be done? For you, Mr. General Manager.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. I've been advised by the CFO it's part of the budget.
Excellent, because we had discussed that in the past. Everyone knows what we mean, the water pools. That's going really well.
Any other discussion or questions? Getting back to water and sewage, it just reminded me of something, and I think I'm able to ask it, seeing as we're talking about water and sewer budget in this item. I just wondered whether we'd had any response yet from Transport for New South Wales I think we spent over $100,000 fixing the water main under the highway that how much time do they need to consider our claim? It's a long time since that blew out.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, for your question. Yeah. Through to the Director of Engineering Services.
Thank you, and through the General Manager. So what we've logged is an insurance claim with Transport for New South Wales. We've started following up because I think it's been nearly a year, I think, since we've put in our claim, to find out where it's up to and when are we likely to get a response from their insurer as to our claim.
Thank you. Yeah, it's at least a year. I have a reasonable memory. And it was a lot of money and it wasn't our fault, but we had to pay to fix it so that people had water. And I just sort of think they're pretty quick to seek responses from us on matters. Thank you for that. I apologise for not giving notice of a question. And no other queries? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Where to now? Page 49, item 10.4.
I'll move.
Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Genvey. Any discussion? Okay. Could I just ask, it won't change the meaning or the overall wording, but that someone have a look at the grammar in the actual policy, particularly the tenses. Sort of jump from past tense to future tense and back again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yes. Woods and the wills. And
yes, we'll review that before posting it to the website.
Thank you. I don't think it needs to be included in or an amendment. No other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 51, item 10.5.
Move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 53, item 10.6. Moved Councillor Janvey, seconded Councillor Angel. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 55, item 10.7. Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Can I again ask a question through the General Manager? I suspect it would be to Mr. Walsh. Because we're making a decision to approve proceeding the road closure, my recollection of the legal advice that we had in relation to another road closure some months ago was something about that it actually requires a subdivision. And is that the case? And if it does, is a council decision to proceed with the closure, does that become a planning matter for the purposes of calling a division?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, for your question. I'll refer that to the Manager of Development and Environment.
Through the Acting General Manager, Madam Mayor, I don't believe it would. No, the subdivision was an exempt boundary, well, not boundary adjustment, but exempt subdivision under the code set. So that enables the land to be created. This recommendation's closing the road under the Roads Act.
Under the Roads Act,
so the planning matters are only at the decisions under the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act.
Well, that's why I was asking about the subdivision. Doesn't that come under the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, the actual subdivision? In the past, we never did because we always thought we were operating under the Roads Act. So obviously, it's not a planning matter because it's not a planning decision. But because it now, all road closures now, we were advised involve a subdivision, does any part of that come under the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, which would then require division because we're making a decision to proceed in relation to something that's covered under the EPNA Act.
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, you could proceed cautiously and act on a division. My understanding was the previous resolutions on the matter resolve to yeah. do the subdivision, but in the event it didn't, I would just proceed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I've only just thought of it when I saw looked at the screen and saw, and I thought, oh, I remember the legal advice we got about doing road closures. In that case, if there's no other discussion, I'm going to put it, but I'm going to call a division just to be on the safe side, and perhaps at some point when you get time, we can get someone to check whether we need to do this. Those in favour? Thank you. There being none against, I'll declare it carried. That's just covered us just in case. And it gave you a chance to all stretch your legs. Page 57, item 10.8. Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? None. I need to clarify, because this came up at the last council meeting, and the notation at the last council meeting was correct. I don't know what it's called, but the period after the election and when there's no council, couldn't find anything that says that that actually has a name, but caretaker period, the notation was correct. It does cease on the day of the election, because under caretaker period, you still have a council functions, but can't make major decisions as in large tenders, large planning matters. Whereas the period from election day to when the poll is declared, there is no council. And I'm not quite sure what you call that. But as you will note, the first council meeting after the election is not scheduled until, when was it? Well, it 16th of August is the election's the 14th. Yeah, it's not until October, so hopefully Electoral Commission will have sorted us out and we'll have a council before then. Just wanted to clarify that because it was questioned at the last meeting, and whichever staff member prepared the report, Rochelle, was actually correct in what she had in the last business paper. Okay, those in favour? Against, it's carried. Page 58, item 11.1. Moved Councillor Janvey, seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
Through the General, Acting General Manager, Madam Mayor, to the Director of Environment and Development. Just the subdivision that's going back to community land, I can see that the old rec club is sitting there. What will happen to that building back in community land?
Thank you, Councillor Jimmy, for your question. I'll refer that through to the Manager of Development and Environment.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Genvey, the existing rec club's on its own separate lot of land, not council-owned. So at this stage, my understanding is it will be that the club will move over, the building become vacant, and it'd be on the owners then to decide the future of what happens on the site.
Does the community land affect anything that title affect anything that goes on there? If it became a domestic violence shelter or something?
You're talking about the existing site for the old rec club?
That's
privately owned. Many years ago it was council land, but from memory the council sold it to the rec club and they own it outright. So they can do on that land whatever the zoning or regulations would entitle it. We won't have any control over that.
Okay. Oh, it's just confusing because it's sitting there within our community land envelope on the map, the diagram we've got, or something sitting there. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the football clubhouse, actually. That's what it is. Yeah, I'm at the wrong end. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Upside down world.
Any other queries or discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 62, item 11.2.
Move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved, Councillor Angel.
Oh, I'll second that.
Seconded, Councillor Genvey. Any discussion? Councillor Genvey.
The EV charging station at Nambucca Heads makes a lot of sense. There's infrastructure already in place and there's parking that's safe to do so, and it's in the central business district. The charging stations at Gordon Park and Bellwood are a little bit harder because of weathering and whatever, but Gordon Park makes a lot of sense, but it'll be interesting to see how the grant funding comes back for those other ones. And I'm looking forward to the next reports on Maxville, because really needs to include council's own facilities in those reports. So.
Thank you. Councillor Angel.
Oh, I'd just like to probably take it on notice through the general manager, whoever he decides, but I come across an article about the EV stations being directed to power poles, relevant power poles, and it saved a lot of infrastructure costs. Not sure if he's seen it. I think Councillor Vance sort of passed it across me. So, not if we take it on notice to see if that's an opportunity, rather than, obviously there's power poles everywhere and directly getting the relevant power, just to take note and see if there's opportunities for that as well, rather than taking up tourist hotspot car parks. And
thank you, Councillor Angel. Yes, I'll take that on notice and provide all councillors with a response.
Thank you for that. No other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 66, item 11.3.
Move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved, Councillor Jones. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, if I could.
Councillor Jones.
I've been approached by a few of the business owners in Nambucca, and I think they wouldn't mind the ranger going out and slapping a few fines on people who park there for days on end, basically, in the 1 hour. I see they've done that in Maxville, so.
Are you asking through the general manager for?
I'm just relaying a community issue, and we probably don't need to.
Okay, so
there are some in Parker as well.
So you're referring to people parking, overstaying.
Parking vehicle for longer than maximum period allowed, yeah. It's particularly in the Nambucca CBD, parking's a premium, and what happens is that it doesn't matter who they are, that's not relevant. There are cars there that are there for days on end, whether they're residents or it doesn't really matter. The one shop owner was saying that out the front of her shop hasn't had a vacancy in that parking for like days, so. It's just that, you know.
So it's generally the main street. I'm just trying to get a bit more detail for Mr. Walsh to provide the rangers.
It was up near the Catholic Church, Madam Mayor, actually. It was up on the corner there. There's other activities that probably I won't mention going on up there, but parking was one. It's just a new person who came new to the area and was just disappointed that that right out the front of their shop they've.
Okay, thank you. If there's no other discussion, those in favour, against, it's carried. There are no late reports, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Moved, Councillor Jones. Seconded, Councillor Genvey. No public representations as to why we shouldn't go into closed?
No, there's not, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. In that case, those in favour, against, it's carried.
and looking across, going, going.
No, I was going me, and he was going. He was going.
Councillors will now resume an open meeting, and I will ask the Acting General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 12.1, Barrow Sporting Hub, Resolution 175/24, resolved by Councillor Angel and Councillor Martin Ballengarry, that Council 1 sells the newly created Lot 1, DP 128987, containing the newly built Sporting Hub facility to Barrowville Recreation Club Co-op Limited for $1. Part 2 executes the transfer of land in accordance with Section 377(1)(h) of the Local Government Act 1993. That is, affixed the Council's seal and be signed by the Mayor and General Manager. Part 3 will be responsible for the cost of conveyancing limited to Council's solicitor's tax invoice, and note that the Barrowville Recreation Club Co-op Limited will be responsible for the cost of their own solicitor's tax invoice and any New South Wales transfer of land duty payable as a result of this transfer. Item 12.2, Albert Drive, Worrell Creek, proposed 9-lot subdivision of lots 9, 17 and 18, DP 884316, and boundary adjustment to lot 1, DP 374127, Resolution 176/24, resolved by Councillor Angel and Councillor Genvey, that Council 1 provides owner's consent for the lodgement of a development application of lots 9, 17 and 18 / DP 884316 using the attached plan. Part 2 approves council staff proceeding with negotiations of lot 1, DP 374127, 190 Albert Drive, Worrell Creek, for the proposed boundary adjustment, with any agreement to be subject to the formal approval of Council. Item 12.3, request for extended rates payment arrangement and write-off of accrued interest, rates account number 1118722, Resolution 177/24. Move Councillor Jones, second Councillor Angel, at Council 1 approves the proposed payment arrangement for rates account number 118722 of $150 per fortnight and agree to waive interest whilst the arrangement is maintained or the debt balance reduced to $5,000, whichever comes first. Part 2 approves the write-off of $4,310.51 of interest on overdue rates on rates account number 118722 once the rates balance outstanding reaches $5,000.
There's a problem there.
Yeah. Item 12.4, matters regarding realised or potential losses, Resolution 178/24, move Councillor Jones, second, and Councillor Angel, that Council notes the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation.
Thank you, Mr. Sykes. And there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their courtesy and their attendance and declare the meeting closed.